everybody. It's Jennifer again for another episode of The Introvert Ally. You know, one of the advantages of our digital world is that we get introduced to people from around the world, and you can hear some of the guests we've had on, even on this program, don't just come from the United States where we're based. It was really cool to learn recently of this woman that we're going to have on the podcast today, Carol Stewart, who is based in England, and she's been quietly doing work on introverts since 2016, doing research, and comes at it from a very psychological basis. She really wanted to do research that wasn't cursory, and I applaud her for that. She runs a company called Abounding Solutions, and the way I got in touch with her is I noticed that she was running a summit, which had some of the names of folks that I know have been in the introvert ally field for a while, and she actually sponsored a conference for introverted leaders, which has had global attendance. And she told me actually that people came all the way from Maryland to actually attend the conference in person. And she was extremely impressed, as am I, about that. She is, as she says it, a psychologically informed executive coach who works in the area of career coaching and leadership coaching. And she's done a lot of work recently on women who are introverted leaders, which really is fascinating. She talks about that in the episode as well. She's been a featured expert on a number of media outlets, has done a TEDx talk, and is also really using LinkedIn in a very effective way. She has grown her base tremendously. She's a 5 times LinkedIn top voice in the UK. And that's a way in which she gets her message out. And that's another advantage of being in our digital world. We can really spread the word. And as you know, I always talk about changing cultures by having those conversations that we need to have. And so I hope you'll find Carol as fascinating and intriguing as I did. And we'll be talking with her in just a sec. So let me introduce you to my new friend, Carol Stewart. Hi, everybody. I am so thrilled today to have a colleague of mine, Carol Stewart, who's a fairly new colleague, but we've hit it off from the beginning. I'm really excited about having Carol here today to talk with us. So, Carol, let's not waste any time and get into it, if that's okay with you. Welcome.
That's fine with me. So, thank you for having me here. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yes, me too. And I'm looking at your screen right now. The audience can't see that, but I see in the top right corner, there's something looking at me called quietly visible. And that's a good description of you too.
Yes. Quietly visible.
So let's start out. First of all, we met through LinkedIn maybe a few months ago. I saw that Carol was doing a summit for introverts and with worldwide, not just in England. But tell us, just to start out, I like to ask all my guests just, you know, a little bit about your background, and then how did you move into this direction of making introverts coaching and speaking your passion?
Right. Okay. So my background, my career-wise, was I worked for the UK Ministry of Justice within the magistrate courts, and I had a long career there, starting off in a very junior role, worked my way up to a senior leader. And I had a responsibility for a group of magistrate courts. And then in 2011, when there were a lot of cuts being made in the public sector, a lot of organisations going through change, and austerity measures were introduced, and my organisation started to close courthouses as well as delete posts, my role as a group court manager was going to be deleted. And what this meant was I could have been redeployed into another part of the organization. But I decided that I wanted to be in control of my career. I didn't want to just be put in a role that I didn't necessarily want. And so I thought about, well, what could I do next? And when I thought about and looked back over my career, what I'd enjoyed and what I was good at was coaching. The coaching had always been an add-on to what I did as a leader. And I loved being able to work with somebody who lacked belief in themselves, and then seeing the transformation when they started to recognize that they, you know, they have got skills, they've got transferable skills, and developing that confidence, even if it meant them going and leaving the organization. And so that's when I decided, well, I was going to do take redundancy and start as a coach. And so I had done a lot of in-house coaching training in the organization, but I didn't have a formal coaching qualification. So just before I left the organization, I started to do research and I identified a master's in coaching psychology, which looked right up my street because I wanted to get a better understanding of the psychology that underpins coaching. So I took redundancy, did the master's at the same time as starting my business. And initially, I started working or focusing on women who were going through midlife career change. And that was what I did my research on when I did the master's then, was looking at how women experience who were going through midlife career change, how as a result of organizational change and how coaching, you know, how what impact coaching had for them. And then I started to specialize in midlife career change for women. And then I started getting younger women coming to me saying, oh, you know, I need your help, but I'm only in my 20s or in my early 30s. And so I started to coach them as well. And then I was coaching women who were wanting to climb the corporate ladder, women that were leaving the environment and wanting to start businesses. And I found that my messaging was getting very diluted because I was speaking to so many different women. And then it was around about that time when I started to reflect on my experience as a coach and looking at the clients that I'd coached as well. And I recognized that a large part of them are introverted. And I thought, oh, that's interesting, because I'm introverted myself. And then I started writing articles about the challenges that introverted women leaders face on LinkedIn. And I got bombarded with messages, comments, people emailing me, sharing their experiences about their challenges that they face. And it wasn't just women, it was men, and it was people all over the world. So that's why I decided to make that an area of specialism. And that sort of led me to doing a lot more research around the topic of introversion, and led to me writing a book, led to me going back and doing a further master's in psychology and doing specific research, looking at how introverted women leaders experience belonging and psychological safety in the workplace, and led to me doing the first ever conference for introverted leaders this year.
That's really an interesting pivot. And what I love about your story is that how you kind of listen, you did self-reflection, to look at what not only experience you had, you modeled what you want for your clients probably, right? That, you know, what brings me joy and what's the common denominator? And one thing that strikes me about your story regarding this field is that you have the research, you're very interested in the research, and your people want to know about that. You know, they want to know how can I relate to what's going on? Am I alone in this, or are there really, what can I learn from that? And you took your experience as a leader. So that's really lovely. So when was that you made that pivot to focus in on just introverts? You went from women to looking at the broader introvert topic.
I think it was about 2016, yes, it was about 2016 when I first started writing articles about the topic. And another thing that sort of helped me sort of in that move, because initially I thought to myself, I don't want to narrow myself by just saying that I focus on introverted women leaders. But I recognized that there was a need for this, and, you know, people were sort of crying out, there was a lot of bias. And another thing that sort of further cemented it was one time I was out networking and I was speaking to a woman and I told her that I was introverted. And she said to me, oh, you don't look like an introvert. And I thought, well, what's an introvert supposed to look like? And I put a call out on social media and I asked that question. And I got responses such as shy, lacking confidence, socially aloof, social misfit, doesn't like public speaking. And it just sort of highlighted to me the extent of the misconceptions there are about introversion, because a lot of what people were saying could apply to people who are extroverted as well.
Very, very intriguing to me what your story is. And I applaud you for the work you've done. What is it that you've learned? I mean, that you didn't know going into this subject, you made that deep dive into really being an expert introversion, and you keep learning, of course, like all of us. But what's it that you've learned that you want to share with people that, you know, maybe you didn't know when you started out exploring this field?
So it's the strength of introversion and the strength that introverted leaders bring to the table. Because when I was a leader, I didn't really understand then exactly what it meant. And I remember doing the Myers-Briggs test as a leadership team. So the area leadership team, we did the Myers-Briggs test. And I remember adding my scores up and re-adding my scores because I came out.
You didn't want to be an introvert.
I didn't want to be an introvert. I didn't, because I'd heard such negative connotations about introversion. I'd bought into those misconceptions about introversion, even though I was introverted myself, but I didn't want to recognize and own that. And one of the things that we had to do after we sort of all scored ourselves was go into a corner of the room, depending on what, you know, you identified as. And I felt, oh gosh, I've got to go to the naughty corner sort of thing. And then it was only on leaving employment, doing the master's in coaching psychology and looking at the work of Carl Jung on personality, that I started to get a better understanding of what introversion actually is. And I started to own that and be confident being introverted. And that was one of the things that I recognized, that the more I became confident in my introversion, the more I felt authentic, the more I recognized my strengths. And that's one of the things that I have learned, is that introversion is a strength. It's not something that needs to be gotten over, but there is a unfavorable bias towards introversion. Here in the UK, I know it's the case in the US because I work with a lot of people in the US and many parts of them, the West or the global North, as whatever you want to call it. And also one of the things that I've been sort of doing a lot more, or what I'm starting to do more research in, is that there is an introvert pay gap, and that extroverts, you know, over the course of their careers get paid more than introverts.
Is there, there really is research on that?
Yes, there is.
Which I'd love you to share with our listeners. What is the big idea on that? What have you found, that there is a significant difference?
It can be significant. It can be significant, you know, over the career lifespan. Yeah, so I'll send you some links to the research that
I love that. You always have the resources for us. We'll be happy to share them with our listeners, because this whole research arm has been exploding and it's almost hard to keep up with it. We also have to look at, you know, there are some caveats, of course, in my opinion, about just, you know, how do we judge that research? Because it's self-report, or is it, you know, what are the instruments they're using, right? You know, because somebody said to me the other day, well, 60% of CEOs, oh, I understand, are introverts. I said, well, let's look at the source of that. And there may be a lot that we're not calculating because maybe they don't know they are, like you said.
Yeah.
So what would you say to leaders? You said a lot of people just don't know, and it's not something, and they go around blindly, unconsciously, having this bias. What would you share with like mid-level people, maybe some of the folks you coach or emerging leaders you mentioned? How might they start to be an ally in their own organization? What could they do to start to create change in the environment?
So recognizing and understanding the bias that exists, that we live in what Susan Cain terms the extrovert ideal. And in her book, Quiet, the Power of Introverts in the World That Can't Stop Talking, she talks about the extrovert ideal being an omnipresent belief that the ideal self is alpha, gregarious, and comfortable being in the spotlight. And historically, I think that's what's been associated with being a great leader. And so for people who want to be allies, recognizing that that bias exists, a lot of the work practices are more favorable towards extroversion. So things like meetings where there is that a lot of small talk often, people being put on the spot and asked to respond straight away, which doesn't allow for the preference that introverts have for processing information and then speaking, whereas people who are extroverted tend to speak and process information whilst they're speaking. That can be misconstrued as being more confident because they're speaking more, but it's not necessarily so. You know, the amount of clients that I've had who've come to me for coaching and saying, oh, they wish they could be like so confident like their extroverted colleagues in meetings. And when I sort of ask them to reflect on, well, what exactly do you mean? And I'll say, oh, they can just speak off the cuff. You know, whereas with me, I have to sort of think and take time to think. And so with one particular client, I remember saying to them, when they're speaking, what are they actually saying? And then she reflected on it and she thought, well, they're not actually saying anything until they actually get to the point of what they're saying. And so I said, well, what's the reason why you want to be like that? And she said, I don't. It's just that she'd been mistaken the fact that they spoke a lot, the confidence, and then was looking at herself thinking, well, I can't do that. And then putting herself down in the process. And that was having a sort of like a knock-on effect in terms of her confidence.
Yeah, that's, you as a coach can be helpful to help people with awareness. So what you're saying is understand and kind of maybe challenge people to question their assumptions. And, you know, that I think it's still hard for people to speak up in that kind of a situation. So if you went back to the meeting, and what do you advise people if someone is just kind of taking up the air in the room quite a bit, obviously an extrovert, because they think, not that it's a negative thing, they talk out their ideas, right?
That's and it's right, not, yeah. You
know, sticking. But what is something you might advise your clients if they find themselves in that situation repeatedly?
So if someone is sort of chairing or facilitating a meeting, to recognize the diversity of thinking styles in the room at the table and allow the different contributions, people to contribute in the way that they can contribute best. So it may be, you know, allowing that extroverted person that time to think out loudly and also allowing time for the introverts to have that space to think and reflect and to process the information before they speak. And so things like making sure that people get the agendas in advance in sufficient time and any reports in sufficient time so that people who are introverted can do a lot of that thinking before they actually step into the room.
I love it. So really educating your facilitators, maybe having an offline conversation with them if you don't necessarily want to do it in the group, but let's talk about the meetings are going kind of more in a general sense. I heard a fun expression the other day. It was at a conference. Somebody was speaking and they had put it on LinkedIn, and the idea and the phrase was no agenda, no attenda.
Yes, I was on a webinar the other week and I heard somebody say that as well, and I thought, I like that one.
I like it. That's one of those phrases that pays, they say, it's a keeper. So I love it. So you're working a lot at the individual level with coaching and then you're speaking. I do want to talk to you about LinkedIn because you have quite a presence there, and you said that as I've understood it, ramped up your business quite a bit when you started posting questions. I know you're active on LinkedIn. Many introverts are open to the idea because social media, you know, as you know, is you can decide when you post, how you post, you can think about it. It's a quiet way to connect with people. What have you learned, or what advice might you give to people who are introverted who want to use LinkedIn effectively? Is there any things you've learned from your experience because you model that?
Yeah. So I think for introverts, it's a great way of showing their thought leadership. You know, they don't have to be sort of thinking on the spot or responding to things on the spot. They can think about what they want to post. And it's a great way of raising their visibility, which is something that many introverts are not necessarily comfortable with, being in the spotlight. But it's a great way of being more visible and showcasing their expertise and their knowledge. Thought leadership by whether it's publishing articles, whether it's the posts that they write. It's a great way to demonstrate their knowledge and expertise. And I highly recommend it.
You recommend it. And any tips you found about, like, you know, they always say try to pay attention to the algorithms, because I notice you comment a lot. You comment, not a lot, but you respond to people. Is that important to do as well?
Yes. I mean, for me, I don't think about when I'm posting on LinkedIn or writing articles on LinkedIn, I don't think about the algorithms. I just think about what is the issue that my client group are facing? What are the issues? What are the challenges within the, you know, with sort of leadership? Or so my articles will either be sort of offering advice, tips, increasing awareness about things like the introvert pay gap, or ones which are, so social justice is core to what I do. And so things around equality, equity are things that are very important to me.
So how would you connect? Do you make any connection, or what is your connection between the introvert theme and the concerns and advocacy for introverts and social justice. Is that something you said falls into that role?
Yes, in terms of equality.
Yes.
Yes, in terms of equality. So when it comes to looking at sort of inclusion, a lot of organizations don't consider personality types. They look at what in the UK we call the protected characteristic. But, you know, there are many characteristics that don't fall within that where I believe that organizations should give consideration to as well. And introversion is one of those.
That's very exciting. We're creating, there's a movement afoot, wouldn't you say? And there's some quite people like Richard Etienne, who has been on the podcast, and others in England who have also taken this very
seriously. Yes, there are.
Right.
Yeah. And it's great to see that. Richard Etienne, he was actually the facilitator of the panel discussions at my conference. And he was really good.
Really great. Let's talk, go back to the women issue again, because I was interested in what. There were things that you said on there that we advise women about, but what in particular, introverted women who, particularly in male-dominated organizations, I always say they have a double whammy, you know, they're fighting the gender issue or gender gap, and also they're introverted. And, you know, so there is this whole expectation they should be these bubbly, nice people with expressions all over their face. And then, so if they're not that way, they really get a bum rap, as we say here in the U.S. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something you said. But what have you found in coaching? If you have any women that you've coached where you found, like you mentioned, you kind of referred to one earlier, where you've seen some success with them kind of stepping into their power?
And that is, you know, one of the things that I coach is to step into that power. So not putting on a persona, because oftentimes what they do is they will try and put on a persona, try and act extroverted, but that's stressful. It puts a lot of pressure on them and they're exhausted, and that gradually chips away at their self-belief and their self-confidence. So it's about how they can find their voice in ways which are authentic to who they are, so utilizing their strengths, recognizing when they may need to modify their behavior as well, and this applies to both introverts and extroverts, about reading the room,
room. Yeah, that's a popular phrase now, reading the room, yeah.
And being able to recognize when they may need to be a bit more outgoing if they're not outgoing in order to get the outcome that they want, but also looking at how they manage their energy, because it's all about how they are energized and depleted of energy from, you know, whether an environment is overstimulating. And so recognizing those environments that are overstimulating, that are going to deplete them of energy, and then having ways in which they can recharge so that they can be at their best, you know, in different environments.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, you're doing such important work. You're a true example of an introvert ally, Carol, on so many levels. So what, as we wind down the conversation, what are you excited about moving into now? I mean, you've done summits, you do coaching, you do speaking, continuing with that, or where do you see this growing for you in your own journey? In addition to having a life outside of work.
Yeah, so I want to continue to raise awareness about the bias that exists, the organizations to be looking at the diversity of thinking styles as well, diversity of personalities, as well as supporting introverted leaders. I want to do the conference again next year. So, you know, I'm looking at sort of working towards making that happen. I'm also working on another book as well, which is based on the research that I did last year.
Wonderful. And just to back up just a second, the conference, for those people to be looking out for that, you definitely should follow Carol Stewart on LinkedIn. And I think there's probably more people with your name. So is it easy to find you on there?
Yes. I mean, yeah, I'm easy to find on LinkedIn. So Carol
easy
Stewart.
To find. Good. Yeah, we're all
so
over
if
it.
You just put either Carol Stewart, Abounding Solutions, or Carol Stewart, Quietly Visible.
And just briefly, what is the, so for folks who don't know, it's a virtual conference. And is there a fee or cost?
Yes, so it's actually in person and virtual.
Oh, very interesting.
So I did it initially it was just going to be in person because it was the first time doing it. I was sort of thinking, well, would people sort of engage if they were watching it virtually? But I got a lot of people requesting for virtual because they couldn't actually attend in person. So it was very late in the day I added the virtual experience. And it was amazing how people come from all over. Quite a few people come over to the UK from the US, because I had people from Indiana, Maryland, New Jersey, Hawaii, as well as the Netherlands and other places.
Amazing. No, I'm not amazing. I mean, I'm like there was a real compelling need. You must have had an incredible program, and you held it in London?
Yes, it was in London. Yes, yeah.
Well, I'm sure there were so many moving parts, but exciting to have a movement like this with a high quality conference. And you had panels on all kinds of topics, right?
Yeah, so I had panel discussions, I had masterclasses, I had LinkedIn come along as well and do a masterclass on sort of personal branding on LinkedIn and sort of using LinkedIn to aid the visibility, which was good.
Wow. Well, you're again one of those leaders in how to use LinkedIn. So I'm sure they were happy to invite it for sure. So that will be, what time of the year do you run that conference?
It is in September. So I'm looking to do it in September again next year.
Okay. So how do people stay connected with you so they know what's coming up?
So they can go follow me on LinkedIn, or even if they go to my website, aboundingsolutions.com, they can sign up to my newsletter and stay in touch that way.
Okay, that's fantastic. That seems very simple to me. And that's your main social platform that you're on, correct?
Yes, LinkedIn is the main platform.
That's great. And you really know how to use that rather than diverse, you know, get too diverse with too many, spread yourself too thin. Well, Caroline, I know it's late in the day there, so I'm going to let you go. But is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners who all are interested in being some type of an introvert ally? Do you have anything you want to leave us with?
I would say that, you know, to be an introvert ally is to just call out when you see that there is those, whether it's microaggressions, whether it's unfavorable treatment, just call it out and, you know, to increase awareness. And I think what you're doing is fantastic, Jennifer, in terms of the books that you've written and sort of highlighting the work that you do. So, yes, anyone listening, just continue to be an ally and make everybody aware that introverts make great leaders too.
And introverts rock, right? Like you do. And you make a great leader. So this has been, the time has just flown by. Thank you, Carol, so much for sharing your wisdom and experience and vulnerability with us today and authenticity, which I know you work with your clients on. So thank you so much. I hope to meet you in person one day, but this is...
Yes, that would be great. That would be fantastic.
Let's do it. Okay. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you found value, please do share it with others and consider a review on Apple Podcasts. You can visit me at jenniferkonweiler.com to learn more about our virtual and our live keynotes. I'm also excited to announce that the new third edition of The Introverted Leader, Building on Your Quiet Strength, is available for pre-order now at Amazon, at bookshop.org, and at other outlets where you get books. Consider becoming part of our launch team. We're going to be giving away some good goodies there for those people who do contribute. And it may just be writing reviews to be part of the team. So we hope we can gather a community of supporters. The new book is full of introvert-focused strategies for the hybrid workplace. Thank you. And I hope to see you next time for more intriguing conversations with introvert allies.